We're so glad that you're here this morning. It's good to see all of you. And we're so glad that you've chosen to be with us. Good crowd here this morning. I was thinking of the little rhyme that we used to use. We're all in our places with nice shiny faces. Did your teacher ever say that to you? We're glad that you've chosen to be with us this morning to worship as we celebrate our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And those of you that there's maybe some in the parking lot, we're glad that you've chosen to be with us. And then others that may this afternoon be listening on the webcast, we're glad that you've chosen to also come and worship with us here at Barbie's Grove. It's good to be in the Lord's house. God's given us a beautiful day. Not nearly as cold as it was last week for the sunrise service, but it's great to see you. Y'all looking good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. May we pray. Father, it's good to be in your house today. We just thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all that have assembled. Thank you for those that might be in the parking lot. We thank you for those that would be listening on the web. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we do love you. Oh, we know you love us. We thank you that as we gather in the name of Jesus, we know that you're here. And so, Father, you know the needs, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, of every person that's listening. And so, Father, out of your mercy and your love, we just depend upon you to meet those needs. We pray that you'll bring honor and glory to yourself in all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's so good to see you all this morning. I told somebody a while ago, and this is truth, and Pastor, you and Wes, don't take this wrong, but it's every Sunday I get up here, and all I see is the pastor and Wes, and I'm sick of it. And, and so it is so... don't take that wrong, by the way. It's just that it's so good to see these smiling faces this morning. And it's so good to see you all. So God bless you. And we've had some, Charles and Jewel, it is so much a pleasure to see you. Chris, great to see you all. And all of you, I haven't seen some of you in almost a year, and it's just so good to see you. Will, you've grown up since I've seen you last. And wearing your daddy's pants, I understand. Amen, brother. I tell you what, he has grown up and got that deep voice. I didn't know who he was. But it is so good to see you. I tell you, we're going to follow along pretty much the way we've been doing it on the webcast, and we're going to sing a hymn sing. I still believe in the old hymns of the church now. Now, we're going to be doing some more contemporary music and all the praise songs that we need to do, but I like to sing a hymn of the church once in a while, and so let's do this. Jeff's going to put it up on the wall for us. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And I want us also, we'll talk about this in prayer in a little bit, but Brenda's missing. She's missing this morning, and we'll be missing for some time. She's going to have surgery, and we need to be praying for her, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Miss Kathy is going to be carrying solo, so pray for her, and I know you'll do a great job, Kathy. Let's all stand and sing this morning. Why don't we do that? Let's all stand and sing, To God Be the Glory, all three verses, please.
Give him the glory, great things he has.
Turn around and speak to the one next to you, and you tell them they're looking just as good as they can look this morning. Do that for me. Welcome them to church. Oh, I love that. That's fellowship, and that's the way it ought to be. I've got some announcements for you, And I'll tell you what, this is a good-looking crowd, really are. And so, you're welcome, Pastor. I'm sorry about that, Pastor. I'll pay for that remark I made a while ago. I know I will. But he'll have the bully pulpit. You know, he can get up there and get to give it to me if he wants to. But I have a few announcements for you this morning. And, of course, we want to encourage each and every one of you as we come to worship each and every Sunday. We want you to be comfortable with your worship and be able to come here and do it as you are this morning. If you want to wear a mask, if you want to be distancing, that's fine too. We've got room to do that. If you want to be out in the parking lot, you can do that too. You want to wait to the webcast, you can do that too. But I think the mere fact that I see you all the way you are this morning is such a blessing that we're back. We're back. And everybody just say amen.
Amen.
It is so wonderful. And as I said, it's... A year goes by rather quickly, but boy, it's so good to have you back. So that's where. So next Sunday will be our quarterly conference, and I want to remind the deacons and also the stewardship committee that your financial reports are in your mailbox. So you got mail. We got mail. So you'll go back and pick up that. The deacons will have our meeting Tuesday night at 8. So keep that in mind as we go forward to do that. Our Annie Armstrong offering. We finished up the Annie Armstrong offering with $960, and I think that's wonderful. Can you do a little word of applause? Get some applause. I think that's wonderful. And now we're going into the NC Children's Home food drive. And I want the pastor to come and talk about that. Pastor, would you come and address the food drive for the children's home?
You know, each spring in April, the North Carolina Baptist Children's Home does a food drive and it's not just food. There's other things like paper products and hand sanitizers and all that kind of stuff. And there's a list here on the table if you're interested in doing that. Last year, they canceled the food drive because of COVID, and we just gave money. And I think we gave like $4,000. And so that was a fantastic amount. So you've got three options. You can just put an offering in the offering plate and put on it Children's Home Food Drive or Food Drive. And those who deposit the money will know how to select that. They also take gift cards. If you want to give them a Walmart or a food line a gift card, they'll take gift cards. So just drop those in the offering plate. Or you can bring anything that's on this sheet and just pile it up here. Now, the money or the gift cards we'll take through like the first Sunday in May. The food items or the things on the sheet need to be here by the last Sunday of April so that we can get them to the association office, because they'll be sending a truck down from Thomasville to get them, or somebody here will take a truck and take everything from all of the churches up to the association office. So if you're bringing something on this sheet, and just pile it here over the next 2 or 3 weeks, have it here by the last Sunday in the month. Money we'll take through the first Sunday in May, or gift cards through the first Sunday in May, and then we'll send that on. And we appreciate all that you do, and I know that they appreciate it in the children's home. As we said in a newsletter a year ago, they're taking in more kids than they've ever had to take in before because of COVID. Parents, you know, lose their jobs and just no way to feed their kids. And so they're depending upon us, and not just Barbie's Grove, but all the Baptist churches in the state to take care of those kids. And we thank you for what you'll do.
Thank you, Pastor. I have one other order of service reminder of today. We're going to do something that we've been needing to do a long while, and that is our children's church is going to be today, and you'll be dismissed as soon as Miss Tonda finishes her song, and we'll be dismissing the children to their children's church. And so thank you, leaders. Thank you for making this happen, and we're looking forward to continue on with our children's church. Okay, that's all the announcements I have. Does anyone have anything you want to add this morning? All right. We'll go now to our prayer request. As I said earlier, let's remember Brenda Burris. Brenda's home this morning and quarantined. They're making her sit tight due to COVID and before her surgery. And then, of course, she'll have some tests and all of that before surgery. But she will have surgery on her ankle and her foot. And she said it's possible there'd be some pins there. So she pretty much is going to have the same surgery that she had before on the other foot. So anyway, she'll be out of commission for 5 or 6 more weeks. So keep her in your prayers, if you would, please. Let's remember a good friend of mine, Miss Little Kelly Haas. You don't know her, but she's from Concord, but a dear friend of ours, that she's had a melanoma cancer removed from her legs. But the doctor said that they got it all, so let's keep her in our prayer as well. Her mother has been diagnosed with breast cancer, so there's two of them in the same family. So let's keep that family in our prayers. Debbie is her name. Do you have anyone this morning, any prayer requests this morning? It's going to be good to hear from you this morning. Okay.
Hey, my friend Karen Brown, I work with her at the
yes.
school. She's been recently diagnosed with breast cancer.
Okay.
That she's also going through a divorce. That's not what she wanted, but she's going through a divorce and had to move. So please pray for her. She's going through a whole lot right now.
Okay. Karen Brown. All right. Anyone? Yes. Go. Yes, remember that.
He's at home recovering, and he's supposed to go to church for the first time today since he got wounded, and he still faces some more surgeries, but he's doing well. We thank you for all the prayers.
Okay, good praise report. Yes.
John Creighton. Jerry and Agnes Creighton's son.
Yes, uh-huh. Oh, my. Okay.
So be in prayer for him. He's got a lot good.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a kinship to that. I had 5 when I had mine. So, but you tell him if there's got a lot of good life after that.
There you go.
And the Lord bless you. Yes.
I just wanted to announce to everyone, Aunt Betty had a conversation with me last night. Her son-in-law sent his husband.
Yes.
Frenchie.
Frenchie.
He passed away.
Oh, no. Yeah.
He has not been in a good place at all.
Yeah.
Cynthia was the only one there with him. And so
I'm
very sad.
So sorry. Thank you for letting us know. Will?
I would like to give
Okay, Will.
One of my friends recently found the eyes of God.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's a big, that's as much a praise report you can give. You know that? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Anyone else? Anywhere? You know, I've been praying every Sunday, and I've been looking forward to hearing you all pray again and hear you. I'm going to ask Kenny. Kenny, would you lead us in prayer this morning? Do that for us this morning. I'm sorry.
Heavenly Father, come give us time to Father. We come with grateful hearts to Father, you have spared us another day. Give us the blessing of life to Father. We can come here and give you honor and glory and praise for everything you've done for us, dear Father. We thank you for bringing us back where we can assemble here together, fellowship with one another, the Father. We thank you for all the safety you have given us, dear Father, all the protection for this perilous time. And we look for this same protection today's Father, but Father, we just want to give you praise, honor, glory, all you do for us on a daily basis, good Father. Always, it seems so not enough just to say thank you, but that's true to what we mean from our bottom of our hearts, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. And good Father, the ones that have been mentioned today, God, we thank you for the praise reports, all the prayers that have been lifted up for these. Good Father, the ones that have lost their loved ones, ones that are hurting, ones that are looking for surgery, that we just lift everyone up, dear Father. We don't try to name them all in this case, but forget someone, dear Father. And one, Father, that are carrying burden, one that have not been mentioned today, dear Father. We lift them up to you also. You are a great God. You can have care, mercy, and concern for each person, Father. And again, dear Father, we just pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for the leaders of Congress. We pray that they will come together and look to you for guidance, dear Father, not for their own selfish reasons, but for one party or another. Just look to you for the right decisions, right things to be done for this country. And again, just be with us here today and believe in here to keep us safe. All these things are asked in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm going to ask Miss Tonda, if you would please, Tonda, come and. As you can see, we don't have a choir yet, but that's coming. I fully believe that's coming soon. You hang in there. And I'm going to ask Ms. Tonda to come and sing for us this morning. And Tonda, bless our hearts, please.
Wesley, do you want me to use this one?
It's really hot for him to talk to, so you'll be fine if you just stay that far back.
Okay. It's really hot, so I'm going to stay real far back. Okay. Yeah. So Leonard asked me to come up with a song this morning, and it was not difficult at all, because as we stood out here last week, that sunrise that came up over that cross, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet, as what Tony Bradley used to tell us. Yes. And I had, I'm so thankful that Robert posted our sunrise, because I've had two persons in my building at the office this week to comment on seeing that sunrise. And they said to me, now I know what you're talking about when you talk about Easter sunrise service, how beautiful it is, because they're used to going to their churches and stepping inside for Easter sunrise, and it's like, why is it a big deal? Well, ours is a big deal back here. And they said, oh, now I know why you mean what you mean about it. So, yes, thanks for sharing that. So, as I looked at the sunrise over the beautiful cross, the song just popped out. The cross said it all. And I know that we've probably sang it before, but just sing it along with me. It's beautiful.
Died to take away
so much. And Kathy, you're up next Sunday. No pressure. I want to go ahead now and dismiss the children, please. The children's church is now dismissed. A little traveling music, please.
Thank you. Most of you have already figured out that we didn't pass the offering, and you've just brought your offering up and placed it here, and we put the bucket out on the porch or out in the at the bottom of the steps for anybody that's in the parking lot that wants to give that did not feel comfortable coming in the building. So you still have those options. Thank you, Tondo. That was so beautiful. We appreciate that. I believe she left, but Gary can pass that on. We appreciate that. I wanted to bring a piece of tapestry here this morning. We've got a beautiful one hanging on our wall to illustrate something. But then I looked under it, and it's got a backing on it. And so that just ruined the illustration. If you've seen tapestry without a backing on it, you know that underside of it looks really matted up and knotted up and a mess. But if you turn it over to the upper side and you see a beautiful picture or a saying or whatever that talks about whatever it's portraying, ours is about the one hanging on our wall is all about Jesus and who he is, and it's just a beautiful tapestry. You see, our perspective, the way we look at things, makes all the difference in the world, whether we see the knotted side or the beautiful side. The way we see ourselves. You know, people that see themselves as overcomers, as achievers, as doers, do far more good and accomplish far more than those who see themselves as losers, who see themselves as inefficient. You know, if kids are told that they're stupid and dumb and, you know, I wish I'd have never had you and all of those kind of things, then that child is not going to achieve nearly as much as that child who's told you can do it. You can accomplish something. You can make a difference. I've noticed even with athletes, there's sometimes you have an athlete that's very, very gifted physically, and he does well or she does well. And you have another athlete who's very, very gifted physically, and they bomb out. Somehow or another, they never achieve much. And then you have athletes that they're not nearly as gifted physically, but they do awesome things because they believe in themselves. They believe I can do it, and they do. You know, you think about those guys that give me the ball, I want to take the last shot. And then you have others that let him have the ball. Now, what I want to look at this morning is how do we see ourselves spiritually? And how does God see us spiritually? You see, first, the devil is going to tell you, you can't be saved. You sin too much, or you're not one of the chosen, or whatever, you can't be saved. But you become a Christian, you become a believer anyway, and then the devil will tell you, well, with as much as you've messed up, as much as you've sinned, as weak a Christian as you are, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. But what did Jesus say to that man who brought his son? He said, all things are possible to those who believe. How does God look at you? You may look at yourself and see the tangled knots and all of the things that are messed up. But the Bible has a beautiful picture of you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at some verses this morning, scattered throughout Paul's writings, so that you will see what the Bible teaches about how God sees you. And the very first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. How God sees you. And most of these things he uses Paul to explain them to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. What does he say? You are a people who are sanctified. You are made holy. You are set apart by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are called a saint. Now, I know sometimes somebody will say, well, I'm no saint. You are if you're a believer. God sees you as set apart. God sees you as one that he has chosen and you have accepted, and he has set you apart as holy. He sees you that way. You may not see yourself that way, but God sees you as a saint. Now I realize that, you know, we have those pictures of the people with the little halo over their head. And you may look in the mirror and say, just hit me. Hoyle Allred was our pastor at West Albemarle, and then he went to Flint Grove's church in Gastonia. And he said, there's a lady in the choir that told him, says, you know, said, Hoyle, when you preach, I see this little halo over your head. And then she had cataract surgery, and she said, the halo went away. But God sees you as a saint. And I know some people, they may not have a visible halo over their head, but they have such a glow of Jesus about them that they're so beautiful. God says, I see you as a saint. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. God sees you as his child, adopted into his family. You know, adopted children are chosen children. They're chosen. I know some families that over the years have taken in some foster kids with the idea that we're going to adopt these kids. And then after they're there for a little while, they say, no, I don't believe we'll adopt these kids. Take them back. And that's sad. But how beautiful it is when a family adopts a child and that child becomes a beloved loving child, a loved child in that family. And Paul says, God has adopted you into his family. You're his child. You're not his stepchild. You're not his third cousin. You are his child. Adopted into his family. Well, what about adopted children? Look at verse 17. And if children, Romans 8, 17, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. He said, you're an heir. You're an heir. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Well, you know, God's pretty well off. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And all the gold and silver in those hills. God's pretty well off. And you are an heir of everything that he has. You don't ever go to God and say, now, Lord, I need rent money. I need grocery money. And God say, well, I'd like to help you, but I'm broke. Just had to mortgage the throne. Just had to plow up a few of the golden streets and sell them off to pay the bills. No, you're an heir of God. That ought to make your prayer life powerful. That ought to make your prayer life exciting. That doesn't mean you go pray for a solid gold Cadillac or something. But those things that you need and those things that are within the will of God, those things that are promised to you in God's word, and there are hundreds of them, go to him with confidence, knowing that he is there. I know this preacher that he said, you know, when he first started out, he said he used to imagine himself getting in prayer line, and there's Billy Graham up there. And he said, well, you know, Billy Graham needs a few million for a crusade, and there's Oral Roberts up there. He needs a whole few million for something. He said, by the time I get there, God will be broke. And then God told him, said, no, I have enough for everybody. You're an heir. An heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You're in the will. All right, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And you know what I found interesting? Even after I put together some of these scriptures, it seemed like every place I read, it said the same thing. You know, the whole New Testament is just filled with God's blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, there's that adoption again. You've been adopted. And then verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. You're accepted in Jesus. You are accepted in Jesus. Y'all may remember a newsletter I wrote back in the fall, that when Pam and her family were going through her mom's things, Pam found a letter that Pam wrote from Wingate to her mom and said, my friend Lynn lives too far to go home for Easter break. I believe it was Easter break. Can she come and spend the weekend with us? Of course Lynn could come and spend the weekend. And she did. Lynn was accepted because Pam was a part of the family. You are accepted. You're loved. Can we not be excited about the fact that God loves us? Amen. God loves us and he accepts us because of Jesus. My dad and mom loved to cook, and usually for Sunday dinner they could have fed this whole crowd. There's probably 20 there most of the time, but there's always enough that this many people could have eaten. Any one of us could bring in a friend, a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a friend. Hey, you're Ed's friend, you're welcome. You're Jim's friend, you're welcome. You're Stephen's friend, you're welcome. Paul says, you are accepted because of Jesus. Oh, that's such good news. The devil is trying his best to make us think God is mad at us. God just can't wait to slap us or make us sick or do something wrong to hurt us. God is out to get us. No, we are accepted. We're adopted. We're accepted. We're heirs into the family. And then let's go on to another. Colossians 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So it's not far. Colossians 2:10 says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Passion Translation has that as, we are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. You are complete in him. We see the underside. We see our inadequacies. But God sees our completeness, our fullness. God sees our anointings. God sees our blessing. God sees our spiritual gifts. God sees us as complete. God is not upset with you. God loves you. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then keep flipping, and we're going to look at chapter 5 for one verse, and then we're going to look at a lot of verses in Romans 5. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He says, Jesus took our sin and he made us righteous. God sees you as righteous. And then when you go to Romans chapter 5, almost the entire chapter keeps saying the same thing. Verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified means being made righteous. Verse 17 says, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Over and over and over again, God sees you as righteous. We see it sometimes, we just see ourselves as an old sinner. We were old sinners, but now we are righteous. God took our, Jesus took our sin And he gave us his righteousness. He took our old rottenness, our old evil, all those things about us that were wrong, and he took them upon himself, and he sacrificed his life on the cross. And in turn, he took his perfectness, his sinlessness, his holiness, his righteousness, and he put it in us. And God, when he looks at you, he sees you that way. He sees you as righteous. He sees you perfect before him. And then back in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice the tense of that. Hath raised us up and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not sometime will, but he sees us there now. Picture it this way if you'd like. Father sitting here on his throne, and there's Jesus at his right hand. But you're somewhere in that circle, seated together with them in heavenly places. Authority, power. You remember Jesus told the disciples, whatsoever you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, I loose in heaven. Get the sequence there. It's not what I bind in heaven, you bind on earth. Not what I loose in heaven, you bind on earth. But it's what you and your authority as a child of God bind, I'll back you up. Now that's not my promise to you, that's his promise to you. That when you walk in the authority and when you walk in the anointing of the Spirit of God in your life, when you walk as God would have you to walk, when you live as God would have you to live, there's a power and authority that is ours of honor and authority. And we realize that doesn't make us hot stuff. That makes Jesus glorified. As he lives out through us his life. And to truly understand that is to know that Jesus Christ gives us direction. He's going to tell us what to bind. He's going to tell us what to loose. We're not going to run out there like a loose cannon and do something stupid. We're going to be walking in the direction and power and the anointing of God. You see, if the devil can get you to think that you're worthless, useless, helpless, then even though you're saved and on your way to heaven, you're going to live a pretty miserable life. But if we look and study the New Testament and see how God sees us, and you see the devil doesn't want us to know these things, he doesn't want us to believe these things, he sure doesn't want us to act on these things. But if we recognize who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, not who Ed Lauder said you were, but who the Bible says you are, and you begin to say, oh, that's who I am. That's how God sees me. That's what God wants to do for me. That's what God wants to do through me. That's how God wants me to honor him. And we begin to see that and then we begin to believe it and in faith act upon it. It's amazing how powerful we become. The New Testament believers got it. You remember there's a scripture that says, those that have turned the world upside down have just showed up in our town. I think the New King, the King James says, have come hither also. Those who have turned the world upside down have shown up in our town. That's what's going to change our world. Believers who know who they are in Christ, who believe that because of Christ's direction and power and anointing in their life, they're not just worms in the dust, but they're children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lord of Glory. And when we begin to act like His children, it will be amazed. What does the word Christian mean anyway? Little Christ. It says they were called Christians first in Antioch. They said, you know, these people, they're just like Jesus. Well, every one of us go by the name Christian. And the more we become like Jesus, the more wonderful, powerful effect we have on our world. Don't look at the underside. Look at the glory side of how God sees you. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? We're going to give an invitation. Just be some quiet music. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life, we invite you to do that. If you just need to come to the altar and spend a few moments talking to the Lord about something. You know, I think it's been almost a year now since we've given a public invitation. But if there's somebody that needs to come, we won't make it along unless people keep coming. But we want to give you a chance to respond. Just to get up where you are, walk the aisle. You can share something with me, you can share with the Lord at the altar. As we have this moment of music. We thank you for the wonderful promises of who we are in Jesus. And Father, I pray now that we might receive that, not as my promises to this folks, but your promise. Lord, may we see ourselves as you see us. May we act as you see us. May we go forth in the authority and power of the name of Jesus. and turn our world upside down as well. Father, bless these folks who have come, those who are listening in the parking lot, those who might be listening at home, those who are listening on the web. Lord, minister to them. Be in their presence. Give them your peace. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.